You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
So today is our Creation Care Sunday at Covenant. It's a chance to celebrate God's creation. It's a chance for us to celebrate the goodness of God's creation. And we're surrounded by green things outside. So I'm going to skip through the Lord's Prayer. We'll get to that later. We'll do it as part of our communion today. So it's all good. It's all good. So we're celebrating green living today, creation care. Thinking about our world, Cindy did a great job talking with the kids. And our first reading. Comes from the book of Genesis. It's the first book of the Bible, and it's one of two creation accounts in the early chapters of Genesis. The first one is more cosmic, having to do with the creation of all the things of the world, and the second creation account in Genesis chapter 2 and 3 is a little bit more specific, focusing on Adam and Eve, and those two accounts together paint a picture for us of God's intentions for the world. I'm going to read some excerpts from Genesis chapter 1. It's a lengthy chapter, so I'm just going to read some of it. And even in the excerpts, you'll notice that God essentially speaks the world into being. The verb that's used most frequently in Genesis chapter 1 is say. God says this. God speaks. God speaks the creation into being. So it's not a coincidence that John's gospel, one of the four gospels in the New Testament, begins with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we get a sense that God's Word is indeed powerful. As I read excerpts from Genesis chapter 1, I want to invite you to look at this image that's on the screen. It's the stained glass window, a massive stained glass window at United Methodist Church of the Resurrection outside of Kansas City. And you can see the power of creation reflected in this window. On the left side of the window, you see creation, the beginnings of creation. You see Jesus in the middle, in a garden, in a sense. And then on the right side, you see the tree of life and the river of life that we read about in the book of Revelation. So it sort of goes through the biblical narrative, the story of our faith, and it gives this sense that we're in the garden, we're on God's earth, we're in the midst of this beautiful creation for all of our journey. Listen now for God's word from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. There was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together God called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and the fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. And God saw that it was good. Then God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God saw everything that he had made. And indeed, it was very good. Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture and for the goodness of creation. Amen. One of the many good and delightful creatures of the world is the Cuvier's beaked whale, a delightful creature of the sea. And I knew nothing about this creature until a few weeks ago when it showed up in the news. Apparently, one of these whales, a juvenile, washed up on the shores of the Philippines. And scientists were trying to figure out why he had died. They did something of an autopsy, and they found 88 pounds of plastic in the stomach of this whale. 88 pounds. The whale itself weighed about 1,100 pounds, so that's like 8% of its body weight. You know, do the math for yourself and think about what that would be like. It's just horrible. If we needed an image of how we're not doing a good job of creation care, a whale choking to death on 88 pounds of plastic is about as good as it can go. And you're welcome for not presenting the images of that process of the what happened with that. You can find it online if you really want to see it. It's rather grotesque and unfortunate. That's just one image of what this is all about. Another challenge that we're facing in terms of our creation care these days are the cycles of extreme weather that we're seeing more and more frequently. You don't have to look far in the news to hear about excessive rain or about hurricanes or about high temperatures or low temperatures. Remember those polar vortexes or vortices or whatever they would be called that we had in winter? And then just this past week, tornadoes touched down in suburban Philadelphia. Yeah. Not Texas, not Oklahoma, not Kansas, but suburban Philadelphia. There's all sorts of extreme weather that's happening all around the country. And we're learning that a lot of the increase in extreme weather is linked to climate change that seems to be happening more and more frequently. In fact, just this past week, I was reading about this, about climate change. It's a problem we're gradually learning and recognizing our role in. I read a report this week, and this report, it's not from Greenpeace, it's not from Climate Change Action Group or something like that. This is from NASA, from the United States government, and they wrote on nasa.gov, multiple studies published in peer-reviewed scientific journals show that 97% or more of actively publishing climate scientists agree climate warming trends over the past century are extremely likely due to human activities. So there it is, human activity having an impact on climate change. We end up with tornadoes like this, but for one reason or another, we're not really paying attention. We're not really heeding the words of the scientists who are projecting these images and statistics for us. So we live in a time when people feel like they need to put signs in their front lawn that say science is real. I wonder what future generations are going to say. Why did you have to have signs that said science is real? I mean, seriously. So there's all sorts of examples of how we're not taking good care of the world and the problems that we're having with our environment these days. Lots of bad news, right? But we're people of good news. The good news of God's love for the world, and we're called to welcome that good news and hear it, know it, and share it with one another. Jesus came into the world. We heard the scripture last week, actually. Jesus began his ministry by telling people that the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near, and he invited people to repent, to turn around, to change direction, to think in new ways, to welcome this kingdom, this new reality of justice and peace and righteousness, right? So the kingdom has come, and we're called to be part of it, and that's the good news. And then in the prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples to say, and the prayer that we say week after week, and we'll say later when we're doing our communion, in that prayer, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Not in some faraway place, but Jesus wanted us to, you know, make that kingdom a reality here on earth. So I think this all ties together with our vision of what we're called to do in terms of caring for creation, in terms of being people of the good news. And we do that together because of what the Bible says, and we do that as Presbyterians because of what our, wait a minute, I have it right here, what our Book of Order says, our Constitution. As Presbyterians, we take this understanding of God's kingdom, of God's new reality seriously, and we try to make it happen. There's a section in our Constitution called the Ministry of Members, and it has many things that you might expect would be in something like that, sort of a job description for being a Christian, proclaiming the good news in word and deed, and being involved in worship, studying the scriptures, praying for one another, caring for one another, working in the world for justice and peace, all those sorts of things. Well, in the most recent edition of our Book of Order that was published after our most recent General Assembly, there was one item that was added to this list. After months of prayer and reflection and study and voting by Presbyterians, we added to the list caring for God's creation. So it's officially enshrined in our Constitution that as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, we're called to care for creation. So that's part of the reason why we're doing what we're doing here today. In terms of celebrating God's creation. And we do that because the scriptures tell us to and because of God's love for the world. I could stand here for an hour quoting scriptures for you about the beauty of creation and about God's love for the world, but I'm just going to use this one. Arguably, best known scripture in the Bible, "For God so loved the world." Good reminder for us that God loves the world. Love is the core ethic of our faith as Christians. God's love for us, love that we're called to welcome and share. That's why here at Covenant we talk about learning God's love and living God's love, making that love real. The commandment that goes with it. Jesus was asked, what's the most important? All these teachings, 600 teachings or something or in the Old Testament, what's the most important? Jesus said, in some ways it's pretty simple. Love God and love your neighbor. So the challenge for us is to figure out how to do that. How do we love our neighbors? How do we make it real? And people have lots of ideas about that. A guy named Brian McLaren has some ideas about that, and he published those in this book called The Great Spiritual Migration. There's an extended quote for you in the bulletin in which he basically says, if we're going to love our neighbors, we need to make sure they have clean water. If we're going to love our neighbors, we need to make sure the land is able to produce things. If we're going to love our neighbors, we need to make sure the air is clean. And if we're going to love our neighbors, we want to make sure our children and their children, all future descendants, will be able to enjoy this beautiful creation. So if we're going to do that, we need to care about conservation and see ecology, as he says, as a beautiful and holy science. So that's what we're called to do and be as God's people, to care about future generations. To close the sermon for today, I want to talk about two people in the previous generation. I want to talk about my parents for a minute. My parents, in their own way, encouraged me to learn about creation care. My dad, this is a church directory photo in case you didn't recognize that look. Yeah. My parents were wonderful in all sorts of ways, and they encouraged me to creation care. My dad worked in an office, put on a suit every day. Whenever he could, he liked to be outside. He played golf, but he loved to bird. He loved to go on bird walks in the local parks. I went on a few of them with him. I kind of wish I'd gone on a lot more with him. At our kitchen table, we had a bird book. We had binoculars. We had the bird feeder outside. And at a very young age of like 8 years old, I could identify birds with funny names that would make my friends in school laugh. Names like the black-capped chickadee or the tufted titmouse or things like that. So from an early age, I came to appreciate birds. I cannot name them anywhere like he could. But we have a bird feeder at home. I love looking at it with all the goldfinches this time of year. I've got one outside my office. Pretty soon we're going to get one in the courtyard here at church. So I'm thankful for my dad for instilling in me a love of creation. And I'm thankful for my mom, who was a woman ahead of her time. She was a recycler long before it was trendy or easy to do. Way back in the 1970s, we had a lot of glass, a lot of glass bottles, a lot of glass jars. That was before the onslaught of plastic. And my mom learned that the town we grew up in was recycling those things. So we had a big trash can. We put all the glass in this great big trash can. And once every few weeks or so, we'd throw it in the car and drive about 15 or 20 minutes across town to the trash and recycling place, where my brothers and I got the very fun job of taking these glass jars and aiming towards the bin that was made of cinder blocks, we got to take these glass jars and fire them in as hard as we wanted to and breaking glass all over the place. So my mom was a genius in not only releasing our pent-up adolescent tensions of being able to break glass, but she also planted in us the seed of creation care, of recycling, of valuing God's big world. I'm guessing that we all have people in our lives who have taught us or inspired us or said things to us about caring for the world. The question is, are we listening? God continues to speak to us through the scriptures, through God's people, and through the beauty of creation. God speaks to us to call us, to love our neighbors, call us to take care of this world that's been entrusted to us, to be more faithful stewards. Are we listening? Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this big, beautiful, wonderful world. We thank you for cuviers, beaked whales, and birds of all sorts, and all sorts of creatures, and the majesty of creation all around us. We know we've messed things up, oh God. We know we've taken it for granted. We know we've started to make a mess for future generations. We pray that you'll help us to redeem your creation, to be more faithful stewards. Show us the way, God. Show us your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.